Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life.
Blocks sold separately.
Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
The following program, Flame On, is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Flame On. My name is Pat. I'm your talking bearskin rug, back for another microsode.
Microsode.
So small.
For your listening pleasure. With me today, I have Eric.
Hi.
I have BJ.
Jack Hughes.
And first time, Potter.
Potter?
Yeah.
Oh, Potter. Okay.
Potter. Oh, Potter with D's.
Like, have you never read Harry Potter? What's wrong with you?
Maybe he's just outside planting for the first time. I don't know.
I do love plants.
You like? Do you like the devil's lettuce? No, we can't use his real name if he agrees.
No.
This train fell right off the tracks right in the intro. I love it. First time podcasting with us. This is Josh.
Hello.
So we are going to talk a bit about Venom. No, we're not. Did anybody see it in here?
I'm actually seeing it. I'm seeing it Friday morning, so I will have a full report. But
why would you do that to yourself?
The reviews, though, there was one review that was like, "Do you remember the late 90s, early 2000s? Do you remember how superhero movies were back then, like Blade? That's the movie." That's the movie you're getting. You're getting a somewhat out-of-date superhero movie.
I feel like that's a slap in the face to Blade, because I actually enjoyed Blade.
But
not Blade Trinity, but Blade and Blade 2 were okay.
Blade 2 was great.
Blade 2 was fantastic. But, yeah, and then they're talking about making Morbius as the next weird villain Spider-Man-verse stuff. But I will have a full, mock-up on our next full cast, because I'll see it.
You have to tell us if they say symbiote. In the trailer it was, but the other trailers it ended up having symbiote. So I think they might have had to.
See, the problem is now when they say symbiote, I'm going to start giggling in the theater, but I'll probably be the only one there. So.
Oh, probably.
So far, my only interaction with Venom is the theme song Venom from Eminem on the soundtrack.
Anywho, for these reasons and many more, we are not doing an episode about Venom. We are going to talk fall television.
There's so much.
There is so much. We're going to do the first half. We're going to talk about some stuff that is upcoming that we are interested in seeing. And then we will dive into maybe one or two things that we've already watched that have premiered for the fall TV season that we are enjoying or excited to see more of. So things that are coming up. It's something that I don't think any of us have actually talked about, but I'm curious to get your take. Charmed, the reboot that is coming to the CW on Sunday nights, paired with Supergirl. So it's a kick-ass ladies' night of television on the CW. Is anybody excited about this Charmed reboot?
I'm...
Go ahead.
I'm open-minded to it, but my expectations are minimal at the moment, just because of the dynamic of the original show. But it's, I think it'll be interesting that it's coming back, you know, for like new audiences and stuff, and they're trying to modernize it and give a little ethnic flair, so to speak.
You mean brown people? It's gonna have brown people. My thing is that I'm going to say something, and I may have just tanked our podcast right now. The original Charmed was a train wreck. Like, let's not pretend that, like, it was the best piece of television, but it was...
It had, like, two good seasons in the middle-ish.
Yes.
Like, maybe three and four?
And I hopped on when Rose McGowan came on because I was like, oh my god, Rose McGowan, I love you. But as I watched it, I was like, what the fuck is happening? And, like, at some point, it just became about the White Lighters. And I was like, I hate all of them, including the main one we get to know. So I was like, I think I'm going to check out
Bitch,
now.
Do not talk about Leo that way. Do not talk about Leo that way.
I mean, I like bland bread as the next human being, but... I mean, no matter how much butter you slather on it, it's still going to be a bland piece of toast in the end of the day.
She just wants some Asiago in her bread.
Right?
That's all,
like,
she wants.
When they do a reboot of the show, I'm always interested in seeing, like, how current writing trends have affected, like, the overall encompassing story. Like with DuckTales. Like, when they did the reboot.
Damn it, you beat me to it.
Thunderstruck! He beat all of us to it.
when they did DuckTales, I was like, okay. I mean, it was a simple enough premise, the original show, that they could really go anywhere with it. And they actually didn't change much of the premise at all. They just actually explained just a couple of things, like who Donald's sister was. And that's really it. But the humor is on point. So I'm interested to see how the Charmed works out. Because the original show was pretty simple. It's three sisters find out they're witches, doing their witchy things, fighting evil. So I'm interested in seeing how they kind of go on with this next chapter. Or this reboot of it, I guess.
I'm just sad that there's going to be no Finola Hughes. She was the glue that held my Charmed world together.
I would love cameos.
That would be interesting.
That
actually
would make me very happy.
Well, so far the sister or the originals, Rose McGowan and
Holly Murray Combs.
Holly Murray Combs, thank you.
Alyssa Milano.
They have not been
Shannon Doherty.
Well, Shannon Doherty.
See, I'd love it if she was the only one that made a cameo appearance.
She
and
is the only,
like,
one involved,
and she plays this massive, like, bitch character that gets vanquished or something, and like the pilot would be hilarious.
Or she gets vanquished the same way she died in the previous show.
Not at all, because technically nothing happened to her and they were like, Prue's dead. I still don't understand that. Like,
well, I mean, Shax came in, but it wasn't very well done.
She got thrown through a wall, and I'm pretty sure she was moving a little bit, and then, like, the episode ended, and then the next episode they're like, Prue died. We're like, what?
Well, huh? If I'm not mistaken, I think that wasn't the intention of the episode. And
oh, no, of course not, because it was all the behind-the-scenes shenanigans,
right,
between
seasons.
Yeah. Because it did not... That was not a death right there. It was just like, meow, all right. Oh, well. So it'll be interesting to see what that does for the CW. And I think it's kind of interesting that they're pairing it with Supergirl. One, because it frees up another weeknight with the 17 comic book related shows that the CW has.
Eight, soon to be 18.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel like the CW just now stands for, like, comic week.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm down.
And I mean, honestly, they're doing some decent shows, so I'm not mad about it. It's just funny that they were, like, there was this mandate last season of only four at a time. So they had to constantly shift around shows. Black Lightning was on like 4 different days because as they put other shows on hiatus, they kept moving it to fill that show's spot.
And it still succeeded.
And it still survived.
It survived. I take survival as success at this point. In this political climate, survival is success.
Well, in television, I mean, if you're surviving, that's just as good as succeeding because if you don't succeed, you're gone. Because
it's cutthroat out there. If the critics hate it and the ratings are low, it's gone. And the ratings are high, it's gone. If the critics love it and the ratings are low, they'll still keep it around.
They just have to be concerned when a show moves to the Friday night slot, because that's usually the
kiss
bad.
Of death.
Yeah, that's usually the kiss of death.
Yeah, but I binged it on Netflix, so I only watched, I think, maybe 2 or 3 episodes on the DVR, like, as like around the time they happened, and then was like, all right, I'll just catch these other 10 episodes on Netflix over the course of, like, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, it's a short season, isn't it?
Yeah, they're all roughly about 13 episodes, okay. And they start a little bit later than most of the, like, normal fall lineup, about 2 or 3 weeks later. So, speaking of which, we've had, you know, The Flash and I think Arrow, like, a couple of those shows are starting this week as we're recording it.
Yes, I believe Flash was last night.
Yes, along with Black Lightning. So apparently those two are on the same day. At this point, I have no idea what day any of these shows are on. My DVR just catches them, and then I watch them as they show up. The only two I don't record are... oh, no, we record Legends. The only one we don't record is Arrow, which will be where we have the debut of Batwoman.
I thought Batwoman was going to be in the debut of the crossover event.
That's what I thought.
But yeah. I think it's going to start with Arrow.
Oh,
it's going to be Arrow related.
Okay, the first crossover episode is starting with Arrow.
I'm not sure about that, but I think everything that's been talked about has been related to Arrow.
Okay.
And we apparently have gotten our first look at Ruby Rose as Batwoman.
Fantastic.
Which looked just like the comics. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not mad about that at all. I still don't necessarily know if I want Ruby Rose as Batwoman, but...
Why not?
I don't know. And what I've seen her in, I'll be completely honest, and I'm not trying to be one of those fanboys that's like, yeah, she shouldn't be this. I literally have only seen her in Orange is the New Black, and I couldn't stand her.
That's fair. So she's been in a couple different things. Like, I recently saw The Meg, and she was in The Meg.
Yeah, she was fine in The Meg.
Yeah, I didn't mind her character. I mean, she didn't get a whole lot of attention. And for a split second there, I really thought that she was going to kick the bucket like she has in a lot of her other movies. But, well, first off, it's been out for like a hot minute. If you haven't seen it,
it's a shark movie.
Right. How different can it really be? Side note, it's actually not that bad.
I liked the
movie. It's pretty entertaining. I mean, it's not like, you know, a cinematic masterpiece by any means, but, you know, it was fun to watch. But yeah, a lot of her characters that she's played in actual movies, like Resident Evil, and she doesn't really last.
She was in Resident Evil.
Yeah, she was. What was it? Afterlife. What was the last one? Retribution.
Annihilation.
Annihilation was the last one, I believe.
Okay. Oh, if she was in the last one, I still haven't watched the final one.
What was the one before that? Where they were in the underground bunker.
Oh shit!
Which really just seemed like a recap of all the other movies.
That's pretty much what all the Resident Evil movies were. I love me some Resident Evil, and even I'm by like the 5th and 6th movie, I'm like, haven't we done this already?
I think it was Retribution.
I think it was the last one. The last one was kind of the recap because they go back to the original Hive.
Right. Yeah. So the one before that, Retribution, that was Afterlife. That was when they were in this underground bunker and it just like recapped. Yeah, she just didn't really last long. But I mean, Orange is the New Black, her character definitely was kind of shitty.
Grating.
Yeah.
Grating on my nerves.
Absolutely. So was it the way the character was written or her performance?
I think it was the character. I'm sure it was the character.
I have nothing against her. Yeah. But you know what it is when you only kind of know somebody from a certain role, you don't really see them until they're in that role. And
right.
Yeah. And I just started reading Batwoman. Thank you, DC Universe. I just finally start the first couple of issues of Batwoman, and I'm kind of, because I always do, if it has Bat in front of it, I just kind of assume it's either Batman or like something slightly less morose. But I really like some of her stories so far, so it'll be interesting.
New era lesbian Batwoman?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I just now saw the photo of her as Batwoman. I'm not mad. I'm
no.
not mad.
Yeah. Honestly, it kind of throws me just because it just looks way too comic-y. So I'm curious to see how that translates.
I can see never that, that accurate.
I thought they just pulled a panel out of the comic.
Seriously.
Right? I didn't even realize it was a live action photo.
Yeah.
Like even with Black Lightning, when they do flashbacks, it's the outfit straight out of the comics. But like his older outfits completely redesigned. Like even the Flash, like there's one, I think in the new season, we're actually getting the traditional Flash costume, but it took us
and the ring,
but it took us three seasons to get there. So,
oh, and they introduce it the way they introduce it. We'll get into this in the second half, but yeah. The way they introduce the costume is quite honestly amazing because it's touted as like a fan favorite.
Mm.
Like the way that they kind of in joke with the way that she brings it up and like gives him the ring, and then like you know he's like punches the air, the suit flies out of the ring. I was like, okay, this is as comic booky as we're going to get right now, and it was kind of fantastic.
It was kind of like there's an episode of Arrow where he's fighting the other vigilante that's named after a cat, Puma something. He scoops up a boxing glove, and we get the fucking boxing glove Arrow, and that's like kind of the only reason I was watching the show for the longest time. I'm like, I want the fucking boxing glove Arrow right the fuck now.
I'm not mad about that.
Yeah.
So, other upcoming television that we are excited for, whether it's new or coming back, BJ, what is something that you are excited for?
I believe we mentioned it in our previous full cast, which is up now. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. They dropped a second trailer. And
it looks so good.
It looks perfect. Like I did not even when they said they released the second trailer, I was like, oh, okay, cool, I'll check it out. I have rewatched that trailer probably 10 times just because of the remix
of the
Sweet 16 song. But like the way the actress plays Sabrina is perfect. Like she's not like a scary witch. She's just kind of, that's just something she happens to be. And she's not a bad person. She's like, but these are tough times. So I'm really, really interested. Because like, just from the trailer, I'm like, I don't want anything bad to happen to her.
Oh, it looks really good. I mean, I only know Sabrina from the Melissa Joan Hart television series.
Sabrina, like that's the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, that's my only experience with Sabrina. So seeing some of the characters from that, and obviously it's all part of that same story. It kind of piqued my interest, and it looks good. And we have the first season dropping on October 26th.
Yes.
So that'll be fun to watch.
And they did an interview with the two actresses that play Aunt Hilda and Aunt Zelda, and the dynamic between them is really interesting, so it'll definitely be...
What was the line in the trailer? I killed her and buried her in the backyard.
She's like, yeah, she's like, where's Hilda? She's like, she annoyed me, so I killed her and buried her in the front yard. And later that night, she like rises back from the grave. I'm down.
I do enjoy that a lot of the characters kind of resemble. This is the Sabrina the Teenage Witch television show as well.
Uh huh.
Like, so it's kind of like, it's not the same, but I kind of feel like it gives a little bit of nostalgia to that era.
I didn't think there was going to be any humor in it, but it looks like there's going to be a good amount. And Miss Gomez, who played Missy.
Yeah.
In Doctor Who. I can't wait.
Michelle Gomez,
thank you.
I was like, who's Missy Gomez? Like, I don't know who this person is.
But I'm very excited to see how she comes into play, because she's just one of my favorite actresses, especially when it comes to villains. So
I haven't seen a talking cat yet. Oh.
My theory on that is that because her cousin... comes to live with Aunt Hilda and Zelda, I think around the same time she does. I get the feeling the cousin is going to be turned into the cat or put in the cat at some point.
Gotcha.
So
that's gross.
Do you feel like the cat actually might talk in this adaptation though?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the talking cats. Salem will happen. I'm 90% sure Salem will happen. And just from how interesting all the other characters look, I'm not super worried about not getting a talking cat immediately.
I want the voice of Salem to come back. And
there was an interview with the original cast. They did a big reunion. Harvey's a little plump, but I'm okay with it. He's festively fine.
And America's sweetheart, Caroline Ray.
I love Caroline Ray.
As she self-dubbed herself when she took over the Rosie O'Donnell show.
She actually, the original actress that played Hilda and Zelda don't look like they've aged at all, so.
I'm pretty sure Caroline Ray made a deal with the devil.
They're witches.
She has probably not aged.
Burn them. They're witches. Burn them.
She has not aged in, like, at least 25 years.
So.
Good on her. Eric, what are you looking forward to this fall season?
Well, there was Sabrina, and then also Runaways, season Ooh. 2.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess that's more of a winter release. I think it's December that it comes
back.
That's
fine. We'll count it for this.
But, yeah, I really enjoyed the trailer that they put out for the season 2.
And that came out of nowhere, too. That's, like, slapped me in the face. I got it as one of those really bad Facebook advertisements that you just happen upon.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed the first season. Everything was pretty faithful to the comics as far as looks and abilities. And I just look forward to that continuing in the second season.
I just want more Old Lace.
Oh, I think we're getting more Old Lace. There
well, no,
a lot
I know, but I'm just saying,
trailer.
Like, that was the... When she finally named her Old Lace, my heart got a little happy. Because I was like, can we not just call her the dinosaur? Like, she has a name, damn it. No, that definitely should be fun. The first season, I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did. And it was a pretty damn good show.
At first, I was like, wow, they're talking a lot about the parents. And then I thought it was fine.
It was a good build. Like, yeah. you didn't get a lot of the parents' background in the comic. I think you got a little bit of the time travel parents in the comic. You got a little bit of their background, but you really didn't get a lot of the background of any of the parents in the comic. So I actually kind of like that comparison. And also, now that you've got them separated, you've got the whole, some of the parents are on the kids' side, some are any of the kids on the parents' side? Like, you've got that whole...
I think it was an effective way to slow down the telling of the story.
Yes.
Very good.
Josh, what are you looking forward to this fall TV season?
Don't screw up.
Oh, God. Well, I'm actually excited for a lot of things. Will and Grace, season 2.
Acceptable.
Which, I was actually really impressed. I was kind of concerned a little bit, but the dynamic actually felt really the same. So it's in the first half of the season, I think it was really just kind of everyone getting back together. And I think I did notice like a little bit of a struggle with Karen's character, I think, just getting kind of back into that manic craziness that she has, but it didn't take her long to get back in. But I'm excited for the new season of that, and of course all the CW shows, and Fresh Off the Boat.
Shout out to my friend Chris, who is playing adult Eddie in a flash
wait
forward.
What
yeah
what
no.
My friend Chris Grace is playing adult Eddie. He posted it up on his Facebook, so I assume it's okay for me to say on the podcast.
Maybe he's just going to come knocking on my door.
My bad. But he's playing, they're going to do a flash forward episode, and he's playing adult Eddie in that episode.
That's
so
awesome.
I about lost my mind.
I wonder if he's going to be coming back at all on Superstore.
I want him to so bad.
He was adorable with what's her name on the show. Anyway, sorry, we
derailed you. Sorry,
we derailed.
No, it's actually Superstore is another one that I'm excited for the next season.
Yes,
and I think lastly, How to Get Away with Murder. Yeah. I'm obsessed with that show.
The sad part is I can't hear that now without singing the rest of Django Jane in my head. I've listened to a lot of Janelle Monáe in the last however many months it's
this
been.
This has been the summer of Monáe. We've needed it.
BT Dubs, Austin City Limits just ended on Sunday, and Janelle Monáe performed and did the majority of her concert set
Aww.
On the stage at Austin City Limits, which was streamed live on Facebook and will be airing on PBS at a later date.
Damn.
So if you check your listings, if you have not seen Janelle Monáe perform live, it's a fucking show. It's amazing. But check out When Austin City Limits airs on PBS and catch it, because she did, I think, the majority of her, maybe minus five or so songs, but she did like a good 16, you know, tracks during her her concert. So she did, I think, about 10 or 11 songs for the Austin City Limits.
Did she do Take a Bite?
No.
Oh.
Maybe. No. Maybe. Actually, she might have. I think it's in there.
I'll have to watch it.
She did it during the concert. She did everything from the album.
Okay.
During her concert. One other show that I want to mention, actually, to kind of spin off of your Will and Grace recommendation or excitement, Murphy Brown.
Oh yeah.
I feel like I'm back in like the late 80s, early 90s of television. Like, I'm just expecting all of those shows to get redone.
The best parts of 90s television and 80s television are back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very weird, but very exciting at the same time, because you're getting the original cast back. You're getting the original people behind these shows that are coming back together to do these shows. And you're not just having some random like reboot done where you're like, I don't know if this is going to be the same. So it's interesting. One episode has already aired. And if you haven't caught it, check it out. It was kind of felt like it suffered a little bit from the Will and Grace first episode issues where...
All political.
Very political.
Very political.
Very political. However...
But I mean, Murphy was always...
That's the big difference. That's absolutely the big difference. Will and Grace was very ham-fisted with their political jokes, where Murphy Brown is very ham-fisted, but that's the nature of Murphy Brown. And, you know, some impassioned monologues from Candace Bergen about, you know, like journalists and being lied to and all that. Like, it was definitely a different take, and I think... It was only slightly bogged down by how right on the nose it was for politics. I think it will get itself into a groove that will be fun and be able to kind of level that out with the rest of the story. And BT Dubs, they hired a really hot guy to be Avery, all grown up. I was like, God damn, you know what you're doing here. You're like, we're going to bring in the younger demographic with a hot man.
Sold.
Ladies and the homosexuals.
Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours.
All right. So before we talk about what we have seen so far, things that we've enjoyed so far in the fall season, we want to remind you that if you are enjoying Flame On and what we do, that you can check us out online at flameonshow.com. All of our social media sites can be found at the bottom of the website. We have chicklets for our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram, Tumblr, all of the rest of those. If you would like to help support our show or the Nerdy Show Network in general, because we are fan-supported, listener-supported entertainment for you, head over to the Nerdy Show's Patreon at patreon.com/nerdyshow, and you can donate as little as $1 a month. And the higher that you donate, the more perks that you get, including some extra behind-the-scenes audio, some not-included audio. Maybe a calendar at some point if BJ has his way.
Come on! We need to do the calendar! It would be amazing! Josh, well, you're doing the calendar now, too.
I don't even know what calendar this is.
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure if I want to agree to it.
Worst case scenario, just make him shoot the calendar. It's a good thing about now having a backup photographer around.
Sweet.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Maybe I should do a calendar for my kickball team. Maybe not.
Maybe not. Okay, maybe a couple of them, but that's about it. Can I just pick and choose? Like, there's like four that I would not mind seeing in a calendar.
We could do
We
could do like a seasonal one, or we can do like
you're only getting the fourth quarter of the month,
right? Or we could do like an After Dark edition for people that pay a lot of money. Come on.
I'm thinking, would any of them do it? And I'm like, maybe.
I was like, my jokes probably would have just gone off the rail into, I don't feel like getting yelled at on this podcast right now. So if you would like to follow us, make sure you go to flameonshow.com or support us at patreon.com/nerdyshow.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, so let's discuss some fall television that we have seen at this point. Not that's not coming out yet. BJ, I know that you have talked about American Horror Story. You talked about it on our full cast recording. Would you like to talk a little bit more in depth about the first couple episodes?
And I will make sure it's spoiler free because I know you have like one episode to get through.
I do. I mean, I don't care about
it. And it's not super... So here's the thing is it got me right out the gate because like within the first 20 minutes, the world is over. Like nuclear holocaust has happened. Skip forward like a year. You've got some people that have either A, paid to be in this bunker, or B, just happened to be genetically wonderful. Shout out, by the way, one of those people who were genetically superior was a black woman. So thank you, Ryan Murphy. But it starts off very weird. Like it starts off kind of claustrophobic-y, like most American Horror Story shows. You've got some wonderful meme moments. The stew is stew. But I think they kind of pulled a bait and switch because the characters are getting all switched up all of a sudden, and it's only three episodes in.
Yeah, as they killed everybody in the bunker.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, sorry. And then...
I mean, I didn't really like half of them anyway, so I was like, all right, there's no point to you, so I'm okay with you going.
Oh, no, I was fine with that, but it was funny to see how, like, all right, Sarah Paulson, this role's done, now's your next one.
And I was hoping they would do that, because I think it would actually pull people out of the story a bit to see, like, four Sarah Paulson characters just all standing around.
It's still gonna pull you out of it when Sarah Paulson's dying in this scene and then is coming in as a witch in this, you know, like 3 seconds later.
Makes her supreme debut in this season.
Well, she is the fucking supreme.
Have you seen that whole fucking Tumblr, like, yes, breakdown? Not just, like, the one or two memes?
Oh, no, I've just seen the memes.
Oh, no. They've gone and done a whole fucking, like, office drama. And it's like when you, when you're the only gay at the job and a new gay is hired, and it's like, and it goes through all of these things,
I'm,
and it's like
fucking
when
supreme,
when you get the new gay fired for this, and then it's like when the new gay gets rehired because he slept with the manager, and it's like when the DM comes in and fires you all for starting unnecessary drama and for inappropriate sexual relationships. Like, it's like a 10 fucking meme, like, or GIF, like, set. Fantastic. It's floating around Tumblr.
I feel like that's how you gauge a good season of American Horror Story, is by the number of memes that come from it. Because season 3 had Surprise Bitch. That was always hands down the best.
Oh, that's used in this whole thing as well.
Yes.
I feel like it's overplayed, though.
It is. But like now you've got because I'm the fucking supreme to take its place. But I'm going
up
there. I'm
waiting for Diana Ross to get resurrected. She'll be like,
right?
I'm the fucking supreme.
But it's interesting, and I'm pretty sure they finally did a flashback episode. We've got Michael Langdon running around being extra evil.
Every time you say it, I keep on thinking of Michael Landon.
Yes.
Shows my age. Thanks, everybody. Josh is like, I don't know who that is.
Well, no, I probably do because, I mean, it's me and I'm like...
Was it Highway to Heaven? Is that Michael Landon?
Little House on the Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, I know.
Is that why
I didn't know the name?
Is that why his hair looks like that in earlier episodes? Didn't he originally had curly blonde hair? But they've done flashback episodes, kind of explaining what happened with him. We haven't gone so far back to figure out what happened with Constance. However, Mother of the Year goes to Satanic Kathy Bates, so that's wonderful, and that's actually a really good. That's actually a really good story coming up, and we get to find out that there are actual warlocks that exist. So that's actually kind of widens the world of Coven and everything, and explains a lot of the political climate of the witches. So that's actually really, really cool and interesting. So we're going to get more on that in the next episode, which starts again with a flashback. So
nice.
It'll be interesting. So far they started to lose me, and then they dragged my gay ass right back in. So,
all right. All right, so let's take a bit of a turn on shows. Eric, I know you've partaken in the new season of Doctor Who, which had a global simulcast.
I have.
What did you think?
It was entertaining.
Entertaining?
Entertaining. We get to see Jodie as her first turn as the Doctor. Doctor
not
number...
Not just falling out of a TARDIS.
No. Well, she did, and right into a train.
As one does.
Exactly. I mean, you fall from outer space, and you land on the train. I thought it was a good introduction to the new companions. I thought the alien was a bit meh, but it really... The story wasn't supposed to be about the alien. It was supposed to be about... how the new doctor is finding their way into their body and mind, and meeting the new companions. And so I thought that did a really good job at that.
And there was a very meta speech that she gave about being able to honor your past and where you've come from, but to change and evolve and grow into something new.
Exactly. To all the crying boys out there in the world. Oh!
I feel like they've been silenced, though. They just kind of gave up, and I'm okay with that.
They started bitching about She-Ra. They've just bounced from thing to thing. It's all the same people.
That's true. They've got She-Ra to complain about now.
I thought she was very resourceful in that she got to MacGyver her own sonic screwdriver, or sonic Yay! Swiss Army.
That kind of confused me, but I was okay with it. I'm like, this. How did... What? Huh? All right. Like, you can't remember your own name. But you put together a sonic screwdriver.
Which, I mean, it's not the first time the Doctor's built his or her own sonic, because I assume that Capaldi had to build his own sonic sunglasses.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, you're in a barn on Earth. How are you getting all of the pieces? That's the only thing that threw me off. I don't doubt that...
With the new edition of Sheffield Steel.
I thought she did a good job, though. I think it'll be a good season. I like the fact that there's three companions.
Yes.
And it's a variety, and it's very, like, kind of United Colors of Benetton.
And I just really like that moment. I've only gotten through, like, half the episode because I'm a terrible TV watcher. But there's that moment where somebody asks her... ask them, why are you asking her? And they're like, because she's in charge. And they're like, says who? And all three of them are like, says us. I like that. I like that kind of camaraderie between all of them.
Yeah, no, they definitely had a really good rapport right off the bat. The chemistry with the cast so far has been very good. So I'm excited to see more of it. I'm much more excited to see more of this than I was of Capaldi's first season. Second season,
it was all over the place. Yeah. I liked the last season was solid, but it took us a while to get to.
I liked Bill,
loved Bill.
I liked Clara.
I loved Missy.
Missy was great. Capaldi, he wasn't a bad doctor. They just couldn't figure out where they wanted him to be.
Yeah,
and they went hard left and then hard right, and it just was very awkward.
It took them almost four seasons to get to
yeah
the happy middle.
Yeah. But I think this will be a good season, and I'm excited to see it. I'm excited for her to actually get her real sonic screwdriver with the red tip and all of that. I want that when it comes out. There's only been two Sonics that I've enjoyed, and that's really...
What was the other one? The sunglasses?
Oh, God, no. I hated the sunglasses.
I like the blue one he got after the sunglasses.
Yes. Yes. It's kind of like a squarish...
Yeah.
Tip. Yeah, that's the other one. That's the only other Sonic that I have. So for my fall TV watching that I've done so far, I want to give a shout out to Flash. The first episode, Nora, was actually really kind of cute.
Yeah.
And probably my favorite premiere episode since like maybe the first, or not even the first season, because first season had that really bad CG with the tornado that he ran around. Probably season two, first episode. I like the addition of Nora. She's weird and kind of quirky.
She
fits well.
I was worried because like not a ton of people know who XS is, and I was like, why not?
Oh, that's who Impulse.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was like, why not Impulse? But the way her personality though and everything, I'm like, no, she's perfect.
And she's the reason that Barry has the more comic accurate costume now, because she stole the ring from the Flash Museum. And when he's like, I don't have a suit, and she's like, I stole more than just the negative tachyons, and gives him the ring, and he puts it on. Like, I was like, I'm not a big DC reader, as people who've been listening to this show know from way, way back. So those types of things don't necessarily get to me, but when you put the ring on and you just kind of like, phrah, and the suit came out and he jumped into it, I was like, that's pretty fucking awesome. Like, that was very, like, comic right there. Superstore came back with their first episode. I don't know how I feel about this season so far. I still enjoy the fact that they can go and have these meetings with, like, the entire staff. And this was the first time they addressed the fact that, like, do you really think all of us should be off the floor during back to school? Like, because in the, this is what, the fourth season, I think it is?
Yeah, yes. It's the fourth.
Three seasons, and they have all of these giant meetings in the break room. And I'm like, who's running this store?
I love it.
That's my retail brain. That's my retail management brain kicking in, because I'm like, no, you plan these things in advance, and you have a crew on the floor, and then you do a meeting with half the store, or you do it before the store opens and do an all-staff meeting.
Right, and I think they've only done that, I think, in one episode.
I think so.
And before the store opened, and I was like, see, this is how it should be.
Exactly.
This is reality. Yeah. Like, yeah. What do you...
But the fact that you know that they're doing it wrong is part of the charm of the show.
Oh, for sure. For
like,
sure.
If you've worked retail, you know all of the parts they're embellishing and all the parts that they're doing wrong, and when they address... the shit they're doing wrong, that's when it becomes more meta and more funny to me.
Absolutely. So when Jonah was like, are you sure we should be doing this during bad school? And he's like, all right, we'll put a skeleton crew. Kelly, you're in charge. I was like, okay, at least like somebody has acknowledged this. So like I got at least a little bit more excitement out of the fact that like we're trying to do this right this time around. They're kind of like pseudo reveal, because it really isn't a reveal, but at the end, like, I was like, oh, okay, that's cute, whatever. The show does well with what it does well, and I enjoy it. So, even if it was the first episode was a little meh for me, it's such a great show that I'm just stoked about it. And then the only other show that I want to mention, and I never thought this would be something that I would be actively and willingly bringing up, is The Gifted, which started its second season.
And how did I still it get don't a second know. Season?
I don't know.
No, The Gifted is Marvel's Gotham.
Oh.
Like,
which we didn't mention, but apparently Bane and Batman are both coming up in the season.
Yes, I know. It's so and bad. It's
I'm just, so scared about that.
Like, the Joker's not the Joker. Why do they keep calling him that? I don't know what's happening.
So the show was good. It just kind of taken a...
Okay, good.
The Gifted
is,
or, well, Gotham. Like, it wasn't great. It was good. It was in the beginning. It was like, okay.
B.D. But... Wong is great as Hugo Strange.
Who just got married. Shout out
yeah,
to him getting married.
That. Oh, yeah.
Mazel Tov.
I almost forgot, though. I was like,
Chaim.
Oh, he's also
oh,
in
he's gay.
Oh, is it gay?
Oh, I was like, but I think I've known that. Yeah. I've known that.
So anywho, so yeah, so Gotham is a train wreck, though. We're not.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to let you sit here and try and say
oh,
anything
no, I'm
different.
Not going to try okay. to defend it now. The last season just I don't know what was going on with it. It's just been getting progressively worse.
The Gifted is still a train wreck, and I think the only thing that makes it somewhat okay for me to watch are the Stepford Cuckoos, which is something, yes, again, I never thought I would say, but I kind of enjoy them because they're ridiculous. And I kind of enjoy that the only way that they can show that they're being telepaths is that their eyes light up blue. I'm like,
all right.
Oh, is the Stepford Cuckoos like the one blonde chick that...
The three blonde chicks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Triplets. The three and
okay.
one.
Okay. I saw that and I was like, I have no idea what's happening, but I'm kind of like intrigued.
Yes. It's, I forget which three it is. Esme, Sophie, and Mindy, I think.
Yeah, Mindy.
Now, in the show, were there originally more of them and then they died?
No.
Down to the three?
No, oh, they just went okay. with the current iteration of the Cuckoos.
Okay.
They did not do the 1001. They did not do the 5-1. They just went straight to the 3-1.
Gotcha.
And originally, we only got one. And then we got the other two.
Right.
That was a nice reveal, though. When the other two stepped out, I was like, wait, what?
That was the point when I was like, you know what? Maybe I can keep watching this show.
That's where they jam the hook into your side and you're like, well...
And I never, like, even in the comics, it's definitely not something that I'm all about, but, you know, whatever. It's very interesting. I still don't love what they're doing to Polaris, and by love, I mean, I can't stand what they've done with Polaris, or this weird green baby that they gave her. I don't understand it. When they're like, this is the worst case of jaundice I've ever seen. The baby's green. I'm pretty sure we're past jaundice at this point. Pretty sure that baby is dead.
But I'm pretty sure that would be the worst case of jaundice anybody's ever seen.
It really would be. But then I love that they bring Marcos, the discount sunspot, over because, you know, they're like, maybe the father's unique energy, light energy, is what the baby needs. And he's like literally holding the baby for 2 seconds. And they were like, they forgot to paint the baby green in like After Effects because he, like, you look down, green baby, 2 seconds, regular baby. And then they pan away and it's like, still a little green. I'm like, somebody's not paying attention to continuity on this show at all. They're not paying attention to Lorna's hair color either through any episode, so whatever. So whether those were good recommendations or not, those are some of the shows that we were watching and looking forward to in the fall season. Let us know what shows you are enjoying this fall season or what you're looking forward to by leaving us a comment, tweeting at us, posting on Instagram, any of those things on social media. To find us on your favorite social platform, go to flameonshow.com. And remember, if you would like to help keep Flame On going, or Flamon, as some people like to
Flamon
to put in games at the bar, yes. Flamon. If you'd like to keep Flamon going strong,
Flamon,
then go to patreon.com/nerdyshow and become a patron. And in 2 weeks, we will be back with a semi-full cast because I know at least one person will not be here because Brian will be in Japan.
Lucky bastard.
And it'll be post-Bear Buzz, so... I will probably not sound anywhere near as chipper as I am right now. So with that being said...
He'll be on a lot of downers, y'all.
Oh, I'll just be crying under the table the entire episode. Y'all just put a microphone near me. It'll be all right. So with that being said, thank y'all for listening, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Bye.
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 Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.